The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Today I'll be playing the role of Eric Metaxas. I know him pretty well. I think I can swing it. Here's the issue. On this show, I interview people. Typically, I interview people that have amazing stories. If you're not familiar with Ken Fish, who is now a dear friend of mine, you're in for a big treat. That's all I'll say. Ken Fish, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. Thanks. It's great to be back.
Listen, you, I met you at a spiritual warfare conference maybe 5 years ago now. I was working on a book, as I usually am. I didn't have time. Suzanne kind of dragged me. She said, no, you have to go. I signed you up. I showed up, and I saw with my own eyes God use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do healing and deliverance and all that stuff. Now, I always believed in this stuff, but I'd never seen it up close. And obviously, I was hooked, because ever since I came to faith, I've said, I want to see this stuff. John Wimber used to call it the stuff. When are we going to do the stuff? The stuff that Jesus did, the stuff that we're supposed to be deputized to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was through you, Ken Fish, that I really saw this up close for the first time. And of course, it has encouraged me to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Is that biblical, by the way?
I think it's quite biblical. It comes right out of 1 Corinthians 14.
What do you know? So, Ken, I want to introduce my audience to you who don't already know you. A lot of people listening right now already know you. Your ministry is Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S. That's the new name?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just ask you, in a given year, how do you spend your time? What do you do traveling around the world? Just tell my audience the highlights of what it is that you do.
Well, I spend the greater part of the year traveling. I travel nearly every week. COVID has changed the pattern a bit, because I haven't been out of the United States since February of 2020. But I've been busy inside the United States, and I hold meetings kind of all over the country. Commonly, I'm away maybe 3 days a week, 4 days a week, and then I'm home the remainder of the week.
But what do you do when you're at these meetings? How do you describe that?
We usually have some worship, and then I'll teach. And I guess people tell me I have a rather unique way of approaching the scriptures. I like to think of it as just Orthodox Christianity. I went to seminary and, learned how to exegete a text properly. And so I just teach from the scriptures according to whatever the topic is. And
but then Ken, when are you going to start talking about the stuff, Ken?
Well, you asked me what I do, so I'm just giving the progression of the service. And
all
then,
right.
But a ministry time. So when ministry time begins, I mean, anything goes. Sometimes I'll give prophetic words to people. Sometimes I'll pray for people for healing. Sometimes it'll be deliverance, as you mentioned. It could have a lot of faces to it.
Well, the reason you always start with teaching is because it's very important to you, because there's people who are skeptical about this kind of thing. They really shouldn't be, but they are. And you help them understand how this is biblical, because you wouldn't dream of doing anything that's not biblical. And that's one of the reasons that I love you. You went to Princeton. You're kind of brainy. You're able to break this down in a way so the people that are sort of weirded out may not be weirded out. The other thing that really blesses me about your ministry is that you God really does use you, and it's obvious. The funniest thing, when I first met you, it might have been the second day of the conference. I'll never forget this. You said, okay, God is moving on some people over here. You know, you're hearing from God. And you said, I think in this row here, there's some people has a respiratory thing. This is about 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And no, there was like four women and none of them, they didn't, you know, nobody raised their hand. And so everybody's thinking like, gee, is Ken getting it wrong? Ken's not hearing from the Lord. He keeps pointing to this row and saying somebody has a respiratory thing and whatever. So you move on to some other stuff and you're talking to other people. And then you say, I'm still getting the people in this row. There's a respiratory thing. Is there anybody in the woman in the tan coat? What about you? And the woman says, this is like 9 minutes after you've been hammering her. She says, well, I do have asthma.
I remember that really well.
I was like, hey, lady, there's a room full of people here trying to get ministry. And he's been chasing you. And you just admitted, gee, I have asthma. Is that a respiratory thing? I mean, it just cracked. It was like the funniest thing. And she was that night delivered. I mean, I remember it. Anyway, I just find that funny.
Yeah.
So what are some of the dramatic things that you've seen in terms of healings and stuff? And again, the reason I keep talking so much, I get very excited about this. You know that. It's why I wanted to introduce you to my audience.
Right.
So what are some of the things that you've seen in the last couple of years that you would say are on the more dramatic side?
Well, you know, I don't even need to talk about the last couple of years. I can just talk about the last couple of weeks. We're filming this on a Wednesday. So Sunday, like 3 days ago Sunday, I was speaking at a church not far from my home in Southern California. And there was a woman who came up after the service, and she had had 31 years of debilitating pain. So bad that she spent about 20 of those 31 years in bed, unable to work, unable to really do anything. She had been married just before that condition had come upon her, and her husband had stayed in the marriage for a while. And when he left her, he said, you know, I knew you had a problem. I didn't know it was this big. I just can't do this. I'm sorry. And he left, and that was it. So anyway, 31 years of pain. A friend brought her to the service. We prayed for her for, I'm going to say, around 10 minutes. You know, it started kind of slow, and then it started to build, and the power of God came on her, which is a term I use a lot. People don't always understand it, but the power of God is the visible, manifest, overt, tangible action of God's Spirit on someone's body, or sometimes in their mind or their emotions. But there's usually something that you can see with your eyes going on. So she started to come under the power of God, began to vibrate, shake, began to wilt, but she was still standing. So she's kind of, you know, leaning over like that. And then I said to her friend, you better get a chair. So she pulled a chair over. The woman, we sat her down in the chair, but even that wasn't enough. She fell out of the chair and onto the floor, and then began to laugh because all the pain was leaving her body. And, you know, as she was lying there, I said, how do you feel? She goes, I'm pain-free for the first time in 31 years. And she just laid there laughing and crying, alternately laughing and crying. And I moved on to pray for someone else. And she, you know, eventually got out of that condition, I would say, came out from under the power and went home. So that's 3 days ago.
The way you speak about this matter-of-factly is one of the things I love about you. It kind of cracks me up because, you know, this is a miracle, right? And we all say, oh, I believe in miracles. I believe. Well, what's the last time you've experienced a miracle? And I don't mean you can, but anybody. Unfortunately, this is rare stuff for most of us. So one of the things that fascinates me, and this is the question that everybody has, you know, they hear about something like this or they see something like this and they're hostile or they're skeptical because they think, well, then why hasn't it happened to me? I've been prayed for. That's, of course, something that's going to come up over and over. You see this. You're in the middle of it all the time. So you're seeing a lot of success because God has blessed you with this ministry and with this gifting. But what do you say to somebody who's been prayed for? I mean, you've prayed for me a zillion times, and I've never experienced the power of the Spirit coming on me in a tangible way. Why do you suppose some people don't experience that?
Well, I'm going to say about you in particular, let's add the word yet to it. It's not the shortest word in the English language, but it's almost the shortest word in the English language. And it's a pregnant word because I believe your time is coming. But what are the things that block this? There's a lot of things that can block people from coming in contact with God's power. My fundamental premise is that God wants to heal. He demonstrated that in Jesus. And so when there are blockages, it's up to us to figure those things out and to remove the blockages.
Okay,
so
that I've seen you do. When we come back, I want you to talk about that because this is like a diagnostics thing, which fascinating. We'll be right back with Ken Fish.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Oh, hello. I didn't see you come in. I'm Eric Metaxas. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to my friend Ken Fish. A lot of you know Ken very well, but a lot of you don't know Ken. His last name really is Fish. I'm not going to ask him about that. It's a sore point. Ken, let me ask you something. You were just talking, and I love this. Spiritual reality is reality.
That's right.
Because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not real.
Right. So
our faith is not based on, you know, ethereal stuff, subjective stuff. There's a reality. It's just invisible to us. You have been given the gift by God to kind of see into this realm. And you know that oftentimes there are blockages. And when I hear you talk about it, it's a little bit like Freud talking about, you know, trying to get into somebody's unconscious, but there's this trauma. Now, Freud is mostly blowing smoke, but doctors talk about this. They say that I am looking at a patient and there's this problem, or it might be this, or it might be this. Let's do this test and that test. You do exactly the same thing in the spirit realm, and I've seen you do it. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, as I was saying before the break, when healing doesn't happen, there's a reason it isn't happening. Something is blocking it. And, you know, the scripture says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. You know, we are a nation of kings and priests unto him. So by extension, I think part of what we do is we suss this stuff out. And, you know, over time, of course, I've done this for many years and I've seen hundreds of thousands of people healed. I have learned to be, I would say, quicker in my diagnosis than a lot of people because I've got a big database right up here that I, you know, I draw on. But there are a lot of things that can block people from being healed. And this is not in any particular order. It's just a sampling. One time I did a teaching and I came up with over 20 different reasons that healing could be blocked. But, you know, sometimes people have been taught in such a way that they literally don't believe this stuff goes on. They don't believe healing is for today. This is commonly known as cessationism. And that kind of mental block can stop people from being healed.
So a lack of faith, but you're not saying that faith is necessary because that's the issue here is that this is not hard and fast. I mean, Lazarus had no faith. He was a corpse and the Lord just did what he did. So it's a little complicated. Sometimes it's that. What else? Let's just go down the big ones.
Well, sometimes people have had some kind of a traumatic experience. And, you know, whatever that was, that in itself is, I'll just say, resident either in their emotions, maybe their memories, sometimes literally in the corporeality, the physicality of their body. And whatever that traumatic experience was, until that is removed, the person can't receive healing.
And what do you mean removed? You mean through...
I'm about to give you an example.
Yeah.
I was in Washington, D.C. about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, and a pastor came who had MS. And, you know, many people had prayed for his healing, and the doctors had told him he had less than a year to live. He was a relatively young guy. He had two school-age girls in his family. He was married. And, you know, he had this severe MS. He was paralyzed completely on the left side of his body, and he'd lost 3/4 of his sight in his left eye. And when I say that, I want to just be clear. It wasn't like he was only getting 75% of the light. If you think of a watch face, from 12 around to 9 was blacked out, but from 9 to 12, he could still see up in this quadrant right here. So anyway, he'd had a lot of prayer, but as it turned out, he had had a traumatic experience earlier in his life in which his father had tried to kill him, literally tried to kill him. And anyway, no one had ever really addressed any of that. So my team tried praying for him, and they called me over and said, you know, we're not getting anywhere with this, and why don't you try it? So I just looked at him, and I said, oh, I see what this is. And in his particular case, there was something attached to that traumatic experience of attempted murder, and we had to remove both that thing and the memory of the attempted murder. And when the power of God came on him, he fell to the floor, and he was healed in about 60 seconds. And then he got up off the floor and began running around the room with his arms in the air saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. He later went and had tests done at one of the major research hospitals in Washington, D.C., where he had been under care for several years. So there was a long case history. He had a dossier literally more than a foot thick of reports and labs and this, that, and the other thing. And he got the whole thing rerun. And at the end of it, his doctor said, according to this new report we're giving you, you have no MS. Your vision is perfect in your left eye. And as a bonus, you've been healed of your type 1 diabetes. So that's an example of something that might be not obvious on the surface or that someone may not have thought of. But in the end, we had to deal with that blocking factor or pair of factors in order to get him healed. And we have many stories like
that. What amazes me, well, there are many things about this that amaze me. You just said a few things that I want to go back to. You said that this person had been given a year to live. So we're talking about very advanced multiple sclerosis. And you said that you discerned that the issue that this person had been almost killed by his own father was a trauma. So when you say that, and you say it had to be removed, do you mean there was a spirit of murder or something attached to him, or are you talking about something different than that?
Well, a lot of people struggle with this idea, so I don't just dive right into it, you know, in something like this, which is a first-time introduction for a lot of people. But yes, it was an evil spirit, a demonic spirit. In the Bible, Jesus dealt with evil spirits, which caused people to have physical conditions. We have an example in Mark 9 of a boy who had an evil spirit, and it gave him something that appeared to our modern mind to be epilepsy, but Jesus drove out that spirit in order to heal the boy. We have another example of a woman in a synagogue. This is in Luke 16, and she had a disabling or crippling spirit, sometimes called a spirit of infirmity, and it caused her to be bent over for 16 years. And when Jesus drove that spirit out of her, then she was able to stand up correctly and to walk.
But you say, you use the term trauma, but you're saying that you saw in the spirit, you could see a demonic spirit attached to this man.
That's right. So we have two issues going on in that story. The first one is the trauma of attempted murder. And I'll just say, without going into the detail, because I know we have a limited amount of time, that it was a serious intent. It wasn't just I'm threatening you. I mean, the father actually did try to kill him. So we have the trauma of attempted murder from the father, and then we have an evil spirit that attached to that trauma, and the pair of those things had to be addressed in order for him to be healed. I believe had we not dealt with both, his healing either would not have been complete, or it would have appeared to be a healing that later reverts. And many people know this phenomenon of someone they pray for. It seems like it's okay for a day, a week, whatever, and then it returns. And people go, what happened? I lost my healing. Well, normally that's because we didn't take care of all of the causal factors.
This is so, I mean, to me, this just sounds so scientific and medical in the sense that you're looking at things diagnostically. And you're not sure, and just in the way that a doctor's not sure. They look at somebody that's a little puzzling, and they say, well, it might be this, it might be this. And the more information the doctor has, the more experience, the better they are at guessing what it could be. And some doctors are terrible at it. And then, of course, you know, there's some people that don't have any of these issues, and you can pray for them, and they're healed, and that's that. But I've seen you do this, and part of what fascinates me about this story is the drama of somebody with extensive, severe multiple sclerosis, and you're telling me this person was totally healed. There are a lot of people listening. They just don't believe that that's possible. What did the doctors say? I mean, do they have anything to say about this?
Well, that's actually a humorous part of the story, and I, you know, for brevity, I omitted it, but since you're asking, when he went back and had those, you know, follow-up scans and studies, the doctor gave him a dossier that was about this thick. And, you know, when they met,
that's like about 3 millimeters. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. What, I mean, it was just so. But again, he had a case file like this, and he brought it with him to that meeting with the doctor that day, kind of carried it under his arm. And, you know, boom, he sets it down on the desk. And the doctor slides this thin report across to him. And the doctor says to him, according to this report, you do not have MS. Yeah, you do not have blindness in your left eye. And, you know, as a bonus, you've been healed of your type 1 diabetes, which, by the way, is generally deemed to be not healable because it involves death of the pancreatic function.
Well, so what did the doctor say about this?
Well, right. So the guy that got healed, he says, well, but doc, what do I do with this? And he points to the pile of, and he said, you gave me these reports. He's talking to the attending physician who had been caring for him for several years. And the doctor says, I am not authorized to comment on any medical reports you may have previously received from this university.
Well, okay, hold on. This is too great. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Ken Fish. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Welcome back. I'm talking to my friend Ken Fish, Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S. Ken, these stories are unbelievable, except I know you, and I know they're true. You said that the doctor, who knew that this person had extensive, severe, fatal, at this point, MS, and all these other things, claimed he could not comment on this insane healing. And why?
Well, I mean, I think we can guess, right? The institution is worried about liability management, and, you know, presumably there could be a lawsuit for misdiagnosis all of these years. And so rather than potentially say something that could later be dragged into a courtroom, the doctor clearly had been advised by the institution's lawyers to say, I am not authorized to comment on any medical reports you have previously received. By the way, he repeated it a second time. He didn't just say it once.
This is called the deep state medical version. I mean, how pathetic that is, really.
Well, so it's an interesting story, too, Eric. And I, again, I don't always tell all this, but since we're here, I'll just say this quickly. So this guy, because of his problems, he had received a number of accommodations and disability payments and whatnot from both his home state of Maryland and the federal government.
Yeah.
So he was deemed to be partially disabled, but he was a bivocational pastor. But he worked not only in the church, he also worked as an IT consultant for a mid-sized company. And so they'd accommodated him and, you know, kept him working and so forth. Well, when he came in healed and no longer needed all that, he was himself sued by the state of Maryland and the federal government for fraud because they said people don't get healed of these conditions. If you say you don't have it now, you never had it. And the only reason that the case was ultimately dismissed was that thick medical dossier, which documented all of the problems that he previously had had, and the judge dismissed the case.
See, if this doesn't make people mad, they're dead inside. Folks, this should enrage you. You might have missed the details. Ken, the idea that this guy suffers for years, gets healed, and then is persecuted with a lawsuit because he got healed, I guess it's one of the reasons I want to have you on the show. I want people to understand this stuff is real. This is real. This is biblical. It happens. This guy, I mean, you say that, you know, he had severe MS, so he's barely functioning. What did he say? In other words, he comes in a wheelchair. He can barely move. And then suddenly he's totally healed. In 60 seconds, he's totally healed. I mean, I assume the muscles were still atrophied, that it took time for him, you know, but what did he think? Because, you know, this is the kind of thing, it doesn't happen. Kind of like resurrection, it doesn't happen. So if it happens, it's a miracle and people are amazed. What was his personal reaction?
Well, as I said, you know, in the moment that it happened, he jumped up off the floor and ran around the church, arms in the air, screaming.
But you're telling me that he couldn't walk or run before this?
Well, he didn't come in a wheelchair, just to be clear. He came in with a walker and then he had a crutch. And when he'd come to the front for prayer, he'd left the walker. But he was almost completely paralyzed on the left side. So he moved with great difficulty, kind of swinging his left side and leaning heavily on the crutch. But when he was running around the room, again, instead of being paralyzed with his arm down, he had his hands in the air. He's jumping, running at full speed around the church. And it's a fairly large church that we were in, so there was room to run. And he's basically circuiting the chairs, you know, around the outer aisles.
Yeah.
And he probably did that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. And then he kind of came back to earth after he'd had all these medical tests and everything done. He came back to a subsequent meeting I did in that same church and gave his testimony in front of the entire crowd that was there that night. And so
is this videotaped? Is this on your website or anything?
I don't have that one on my website. No.
OK. And what's the URL? It's Orbis Ministries. What is it?
.org. OrbisMinistries.org.
OrbisMinistries.org. Let me ask you, Ken, on behalf of everyone who's listening, are you going to write a book and include all this stuff? Because I think you must.
I actually have a few books that I'm trying to get out. And for the longest time, I was trying to write them myself. And I've now decided I think I need a little help with that.
Yeah.
So I'm interviewing some people who hopefully can help me get these books done.
Yeah. Well, the people you need to have. This is great stuff. Just do the greatest hits. Come out with your greatest hits album first. And this is, of course, God's greatest hits. Let's be
Absolutely.
Real clear. This is God. This is the Lord. You were in Toledo, Ohio recently. Tell me what happened there.
All right. Well, so I went to Toledo, Ohio on Palm Sunday weekend. I did a conference there on Friday and Saturday, and then I preached in the sponsoring church on Palm Sunday. So this is like 2 weeks and 3 days ago that I'm talking about. This is, again, a very recent story. And, you know, I preached a sermon on the intersection. I guess I could say intersectionality, but maybe that would be off the
But don't, because I'll censor you. I'll cancel you if you use that word. Go ahead.
anyway, there's an intersection at times between healing and deliverance. So that was actually my morning sermon. And then at the end of it, I stopped and I said, I've got a couple of words, and I gave them to the room. They had to do with healing. They weren't so much prophetic words about, you know, here's what God's going to do with your life. I get those too, but that wasn't what was happening that morning. And I gave one word, and a woman who was sitting over here on my right, so she was kind of the left side of the room if you're facing the front, but on my right, she was back there, and this woman was in bad shape. We found out as we interviewed her, she was 23 years old, but she had had a stroke only 3 days before. And she was sitting there with one arm kind of curled up like this, her left arm, her head was slumped over, and her tongue.
You didn't need to show that, Ken. This is a family program, please. All right, folks, I'm going to be right back with my friend Ken Fish. This is what's called a cliffhanger. We'll be right back.
They're going to make the big star out of me.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Used to laugh, used to cry, used to bow our heads.
Folks, welcome back. We're talking about a 23-year-old woman who'd had a stroke 3 days before she came to the meeting with our friend Ken Fish. Ken, you graphically described that this woman was not doing very well. So what happened?
Right. And by the way, Eric, I show it more because we can't see it now, although we do have video of this healing up on my God is Not a Theory group. That group is a group that is hidden from public view on Facebook. But if people want to email info@orbisministries.org, they can be added to the group and then they can view this video themselves.
Info@orbisministries.org. OK,
that's right.
So this woman is really messed up. And what happens?
So she's in bad shape. And again, I'm not trying to mock her. I'm not in any way making fun of her. I'm simply trying to give our listeners, our viewers, a sense of how severe and profound this
right,
was.
Right, of course.
Okay, so, you know, she responds to the word of knowledge. And I walk over to her, and I had two team members with me. And I interviewed her a little bit, and I said to the room over the microphone, I said, we're going to pray for her, and I believe God's going to heal this woman today. But I just want to be clear, a lot of times paralysis healings that come from strokes, this is based on having seen a few hundred paralytics healed, oftentimes they don't occur in a moment. They might take 30 minutes or an hour. Well, I started praying with her, and after a bit, because the whole room was waiting on me as the speaker and leader of the meeting, I handed it over to my two assistants that were traveling with me. I jumped back in at a couple of key points. So this was a team effort that was going on. After about 75 minutes, this woman was totally healed. She walked out of the building under her own power. And as she walked out, she looked back over her shoulder and waved, which is a very complex motion for somebody to make anyway. Elderly people often struggle with this because they've lost some balance and whatnot. But this woman had just been in a stroke condition. One of my team members is a professor at a major university. I better not say which one, but a major university, a professor of kinesiology. And so she said to me, oh, my gosh, I mean, that's a really difficult thing for somebody to do, even when they're not paralyzed. She said, I just saw that happen. So this woman walks out the door carrying her own conveyance, waves goodbye, and about an hour and a half later, she got taken to lunch. About an hour and a half later, They shot some additional video of her jumping, which is, again, is a very complex motion from a kinesiological point of view. So, again, we have video of that one because, you know, all the cameras came out as she was being healed. But I want to emphasize this one. This was not instantaneous, but it was, I would say, in the scheme of things, pretty rapid. And I just got pictures yesterday sent to me by the pastor of the church. She's still walking and had given her entire testimony in church 3 days ago, 2 weeks after her healing.
I just want to say to anybody, folks, if you're watching this on YouTube, please share this with everyone you know, because we live in a weird world where everything that Ken and I are talking about, it doesn't exist. You're never going to read about this in the New York Times or in any paper. They act like that's just weird religious stuff. No, it's reality, or it's a total lie. I don't think it's a lie. But if it's real, why aren't people reporting on this? Ken, I want to get personal, and if you don't want to talk about this, that's fine. But you have a daughter that I've met that really struggles with developmental stuff. You know, people wouldn't know that about you, and I've interviewed you a zillion times. I don't think we've ever talked about it. Can you share about that a little bit? Because just so people don't get this idea that everybody who's struggling with something can get healed instantly, we're living in a complex, sin-sick world. And this is just something that's so close to home. It is in your home. Can you just say a little bit about that for context?
Sure. Sure, yeah. My daughter is 16 years old, 16 and a half, and she was born with a number of problems. It was a very traumatic birth. There were complications, one of which was that the cord was wrapped around her neck, but her collarbone was broken in birth, and there were some other things, low Apgar scores, blah, blah. So early on, we knew that we had a problem here. And I would say, for the most part, the medical community tried to sweep it under the rug and said, well, you know, she'll just grow out of this. This will be fine. Again, I think this was a liability minimization issue. They were trying to make sure they didn't get sued because it was a distressed birth. It was clear from what was going on in the delivery room. And arguably they didn't take the right steps. Now, just to be clear, we did not sue the hospital, nor the doctor, nor anyone else. We did not file a lawsuit. That's not really our style, and we think scripturally it's not the right thing to do. So our daughter was severely handicapped early in her life. For her first 6 weeks of life, she couldn't pass anything. Ultimately, that function started. It took her until she was age 2 to crawl. And they told us she would probably never walk. Well, today she walks and she runs like the wind. So there's been a progressive healing going on in her life over this entire time. And actually, it's funny you're asking, because we've just noticed in the last week or so yet another uptick in the healing that she's receiving. We believe that there's that there are multiple layers of issues in her life. We've prayed about all of them. We continue to pray. Our friends pray. We continue to receive insight into the conditions that she has. And we think that's the source of these. I call them micro or minor breakthroughs.
But just to be clear, before we talk about breakthroughs or whatever, but I mean, she is seriously handicapped. I mean, that's, if you didn't know her, you'd say she must be autistic or something like
right.
that. What is the typical diagnosis? I mean, we just got 30 seconds, but what would people say she's dealing with?
No doctor has ever given her a firm diagnosis, but they say the school district says she's on the autism spectrum. There's federal money attached to that. So again, note the motive. So some people call her autistic. I think it was brain damage in birth from oxygen deprivation. But whatever it is, she can't speak well. She has behavioral issues, and she's completely disabled and requires 24-hour care.
And again, I say this just because I want people to understand that just because some people can be insanely, outrageously, miraculously healed doesn't mean there's a magic wand. And so people who don't understand that scripturally, they kind of act like, well, you're doing something wrong. And you deal with this almost every day with your daughter's issues and then with people that are being healed. And you have a really, I think, sophisticated, deep experience with this kind of thing. And you have for 16 plus years really been dealing with this. It doesn't go away just because you pray and just because God has anointed you with this gift. So it's complicated. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back talking to Ken Fish.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a doll around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another
folks,
day.
I'm talking to Ken Fish, Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S. Ken, you're sharing some really tough stuff. I mean, I've met your daughter. You have three daughters. This is your youngest daughter, and she's the only one that has anything like this. You were just saying to me off the air that you prayed for 15 kids with extremely similar stuff to what your daughter has. Talk about that.
So in 2015, as I was traveling, I prayed for 15 young children. So 2015 is, you know, about 6 years ago. So my daughter at the time would have been about 10, and they were comparably aged, maybe not exactly 10, but plus or minus a couple years. I prayed for 15 kids that were very, very, very similar to my own daughter.
And that's over the course of a year?
Over about a year, yeah. You know, just they came to various meetings and, you know, they'd request prayer and I would pray for them. All 15 of them were healed in under 30 seconds, completely and fully healed, set free of whatever that was. And yet my own daughter has not yet been healed. I told my wife about the first three, but after that, I didn't tell her anymore because, you know, it was hard for her to hear that. And, you know, she even said to me, well, why don't you do something about our daughter? I said, you know, I don't control this. If I did, I would fix it right now. But I will say God has been faithful and there's been progressive healing for Carissa. And we think we see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not sure quite how soon we get there, but something is happening. And I'll just say very quickly, at age 8, she had not potty trained. And someone gave me a prophetic word as I was about to get up and speak in a church at age 8. So this is 8 years ago. And this individual said to me, Ken Fish, within 2 weeks, as a man in prison would count the days, God will visit your daughter. And on the 13th day, well, that's within 2 weeks, as a man in prison would count the days, because a man in prison is looking to get out and he's counting the days down. On the 13th day, she got up, went into the restroom, used the toilet correctly, and then asked for underwear and has never gone back to wearing diapers. So we've seen these dramatic interventions and we just kind of scratch our head and go, well, Lord, why didn't you just do it all right at that point? I don't have an answer.
This is the humbling part of it, right? This is tough. We don't have all the answers. We see through a glass darkly. By the way, I just came up with that. Is that scriptural? Okay.
It is.
Let me ask you in the last 45 seconds, when you talk about these kids that were healed instantly, we're talking about severe problems. I've met your daughter. We spent the evening together. How is it possible that somebody could be healed from that instantly? What does the change look like?
Well, the sort of compulsive, grabby, OCD-ish behaviors, they just instantly stopped. And the kids' tongues, as we would say, were loosed and they began talking very lucidly, because I think what was happening was input was going in. I think the brain had plenty of information. It was the output function that wasn't working. And, they were able to sit quietly and go about their business and return to school and get caught up.
This is nuts, but we believe in nuts because we read the scripture and God is an amazing God. He does stuff that blows our minds. Ken, it's a joy to know you. It's a joy to see God use you. Thanks for being my guest.
Pleasure to be back, Eric.
Folks, check out orbisministries.org. Folks, you know Mike Lindell is the main sponsor of this program, MikePillow.com, but we have a new sponsor, and I'm excited actually about this sponsor. We'll be talking about them more in the weeks ahead, but they're called NutraMedics. That's M-E-D-I-X, NutraMedics. They are a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993, and they're now available to us. I have begun to take them. Everything you take, they make. So why would you go with anybody else? When NutraMedics, are you ready for this? They give more than 50% of all their profits to missions and to charities. It's unbelievable. So if you have a choice, where do I get my vitamin D? Where do I get NutraMedics.com? If you use the code Eric, I think it's Eric10. Whatever it is that you buy, zinc, magnesium, all the stuff, and I'll tell you about it at another time. But NutraMedics.com, use the code Eric10, Eric10.